Let us pause. Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who witnessed, those who wrote down and recorded what happened. Because of them, we have the message and we can walk in newness of life. Receive us as we open ourselves to what is being said and spoken. May all that is being shared be glorifying to you. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Easter is a good time to decide. It's a good time to be definitive. It's a good time to be creative. It's a good time to be decisive. It seemed like just yesterday we were floating, we were wandering in uncertainty. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we lived in fear. We lived in doubt. We lived in darkness. Chaos, confusion, betrayal, denial, and there was a scattering of the disciples. And we were feeling that ourselves. There was all this unknown. But in the midst of the darkness, right before dawn, 3 days after, God is decisive. Like a seed that's in the ground in the dark that cracks open and germinates. Like the little infant inside of the womb that is sheltered from the light and beginning to take form and take shape. Like the body of Jesus that is wrapped and trapped in the tomb in the pitch black. God is decisive and determinative, and new life will come out of the darkness. God is decisive that through the dawn and through the daylight, there will be victory, there will be triumph, there is going to be joy and gladness. A new day, a new hope, a new beginning, a new kingdom is born. The resurrection story is about us agreeing and acknowledging and aligning ourselves with God's decision and making our own individual decisions. Now, the women of Luke chapter 24 are decisive. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James. They are at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. They are there throughout. And they are there at the end of his earthly life. Whether it's at the crucifixion or until his death, they are there. In the book of Matthew, it says that the many women were looking on from a distance. Those who had followed Jesus from the time even of Galilee until his ministry, they were ministering to him. Among them, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and what is added is the mother of the sons of Zebedee. In Luke 24, these women are decisive, and they say to themselves, we're going to bring spices to the tomb. Even though they know that in front of the cave, there's going to be this huge stone, even though they may be aware that there are guards there, are protecting the body of Jesus, and they may not pass. But they make up their minds. We don't know how we're going to get to Jesus' body, but we're going to bring the spices, we're going to anoint his body, and we're going to honor him that way. So they get there, and they find that the stone in front of the tomb is removed. And they find that the body isn't there. And they find two men in dazzling clothes. And it's presumed that these are angels. And the angels say to them, the one you are looking for is not among the dead. He has risen. In joy and jubilation, they return to the other disciples and they tell them what has happened. And then verse 9 says, they go and tell the rest. I don't know how many there are that are the rest, but they just go and tell a lot of people. They are decisive from the start, throughout the time of Jesus, during the death and burial and resurrection. There's no hesitating. There is no reluctance. There's no second guessing. These women are the model of decisiveness. But then there's the disciples. They're the opposite. We know their tendencies. We know their inconsistencies. The women get there and tell them the good news, the fresh news, hot news, and they are confused. They are unaccepting. They would not believe. Even though they were there when Jesus displayed all of his miracles, they were there when Jesus performed those powerful healings, they were there when Jesus raised people from the dead, they were there in the calming of the storm, the exorcisms, and everything. They were there when Jesus said that God would raise him on the third day. But they couldn't comprehend. They wouldn't accept. They wouldn't decide. They wouldn't believe. Finally, one of them, Peter, says, "Well, I think I'm going to go and find out for myself." At least he decides to see what is really happening. And the Gospel of John says that another disciple goes with him. But the rest of them, they don't get up. They don't go to the tomb. They don't seem to do anything. Now, if we were them and we heard about that, wouldn't we drop everything and just go there and find out for ourselves? Won't we try to say, is this true or not? Or wouldn't we say, wouldn't we get curious and excited and say, well, maybe it really did happen as Jesus had predicted it would be? But they don't. They don't act, they don't decide, they really don't respond at all. So Peter's on the move, and he gets there, and he sees the empty tomb, and he sees the cloths, the strips of cloth, and what is his reaction? Verse 12 says he marvels. He's amazed at what happens. But what else does he do? The heavy stone is moved. The body's not there. Linen wrappings. What else would we do? If it was us, wouldn't we start going to our friends or calling or gathering people together or say, wow, he is risen. Maybe he's walking somewhere. Maybe we can find him. If it was us today, we would probably get out our cell phones and start taking pictures and post it on Facebook, or we would start tweeting immediately. But what does he do? What does Peter do? In verse 12, it says, and he went away to his home. The implication being, he didn't do anything about it except go home. I think I'm going to go home now. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, oh, it's time for breakfast. I can't wait to get home. He just doesn't seem to do anything. Today is a day for us to believe. Today is a day for us to decide. I don't know if you all have been following what's been happening in the Supreme Court this past week. They were willing to hear the case about overturning Proposition 8 or the Defense of the Marriage Act. So I was curious and I was excited and say, well, what are they going to decide? There are 9 justices in our Supreme Court. So I said, oh, I better know who they are and what they believe. There were some liberal justices, there are some conservative justices, and there were a couple who could be swung either way. Now, these folks are the brightest minds in our country who know and have the expertise and they can evaluate ideas, but then they're so slow to make this decision. Why the indecision? And what I found out was they were trying to make their decision based on many factors or one factor or a combination. So do we decide based on equality or human rights or individual rights? Do we decide whether it's constitutional? Do we decide on the finances? Should we allow these gay folks to have the taxes or the tax laws apply to them like everybody else? How about pensions? And how about Social Security? Then other judges were saying, well, it's a state case or it's a federal case. Some were saying, well, I'm just going to vote based on my tradition or my doctrine. Or one judge said, well, how about the children of these gay couples? Don't they have a voice? One other person brought up the issue, well, shouldn't be marriage be for the purpose of procreation? Well, a couple of the judges married late. They're in their 60s, so they weren't going to have kids. The New York Times reported that the justices were having second thoughts about it. Why did they agree to hear the case in the first place, they were saying? And Judge Anthony Kennedy said, let's just dismiss it. In other words, let's just decide not to decide. Today we receive the news of Jesus' resurrection, and it involves a decision. What do we base our decisions on? What is our starting point for what we decide? As a Christian community, as an Easter people, as a resurrection people, what do we base our decisions on? We base our decision on the resurrection. We decide based on God's triumph, God's victory. We base our decisions on courage and love and new living. We base our decisions on what is freeing, what is liberating, what is life-giving and transforming. So we are faced with the decision, okay, what do I do about those regrets? Do I finally let them go? What do I do about my life? I'm going to start living differently. Do I choose hope and peace and joy and courage? Now is the time to decide, what am I going to do about my attitudes? How about that challenge that I've been putting off for a long time? Maybe now is the time to decide. Because I was living in darkness. I was living in despair. I was in the depths of sorrow. And now it's time to emerge. Today is an acceptable time. Choose this day whom you will serve, as it says in Joshua 12. Or now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6. Has anyone heard of Sadhu Sundar Singh? Sadhu Sundar Singh was born in India to a Sikh family. When he was a child, his mother used to bring him to a holy man out in the rainforest somewhere. But when Sadhu was 14, his mother died. And he became depressed, and he became despairing, and he became aggressive. And he saw these Christian missionaries, and he hated them. He even decided that he was going to burn a Bible in public. He became suicidal. He thought, okay, when the train comes, I'm just going to go under the train. My life is not worth living. One morning, he went out into the moonlight. It's like 3 o'clock. And I guess they have these ritual baths that they do before they worship in the Sikh or the Hindu religion. He returned to his room and he knelt down and he prayed and he said, God, if you are for real, please let yourself be known. He was thinking, well, maybe I'll receive a voice, maybe a vision, maybe I'll receive a sign, but nothing. Finally, when he was done, he lifted up his head and he opened his eyes, and in his room, he saw this glimmer of light. And he said, what can this be? So he opened the door, he went outside. It was still dark. he saw this faint cloud. It wasn't even dawn. So he went back in this room, and the light started to give him brighter and bigger. And pretty soon he recognized that it was the face of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the face of his other religions. But Jesus was in the room shining and radiating, expressing joy and peace and love, and looking with him with compassion. It was in the darkness before the dawn that Jesus appeared to him. After that experience, he wrote this hymn. And the hymn goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though I may wander, I still will follow. Though I may wander, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Today is Resurrection Day. Let us decide. Let us believe. Amen. Amen. Yeah.